Hollywood Star Playhouse, starring Barry Sullivan in An Obit for Joe, will be coming your way in a few seconds. Right now, we want to remind you that Thursday means top entertainment all evening long. Listen a little later to the original Amateur Hour with Ted Mack, that longtime favorite program which helped shape the entertainment patterns of tomorrow. It's the show which gives promising newcomers that first big break. From big cities, from tiny hamlets they come, eagerly crossing the threshold that leads to the great world of entertainment. Be sure to listen tonight for the stars of tomorrow when Ted Mack introduces them on the original Amateur Hour on ABC.
Now, Mr. Barry Sullivan on the Hollywood Star Playhouse. Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tales of suspense, thrills, adventure by Hollywood's finest writers with Hollywood's top stars. Brought to you each week by the American Broadcasting Company. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Orville Anderson. Welcome to the Hollywood Star Playhouse. Barry Sullivan is appearing tonight by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor musical Rich, Young, and Pretty, starring Jane Powell, Daniel Deriu, and Wendell Corey. Back in his cub reporter days, he thought he'd written his last obit. But then he got a police beat and finally all the way up to a byline and the Pulitzer Prize. But now it's come full circle. Listen to Barry Sullivan as a reporter named Cathcart calling in his last story. An obit for Joe.
Phone. Where is it? Now, cigarette, match. Not bad, kid. Not bad at all. Now. Cathcart.
Joe, for crying out loud, where have you...
Shut up. You got a pencil?
Pencil?
Yeah. You were a rewrite man 30 years ago, Waller. Let's see how much shorthand you remember.
Joe, are you loaded?
Up to here. You're missing a wonderful party.
Ah.
You ready with a pencil?
Look, what is all this? Are you...
Here we go. Headed up. Ed Obit.
Hold it. Obit. You don't mean obituary.
Indeed I do.
Who? Whose?
Mine. Right from the start, you wanted to make something out of it, Waller. With me and 99 cops yelling you were crazy, that it wasn't a story. It was a statistic. So it was a story. The least I can do now is play it like Gallagher, the boy reporter, so you can make with the big type you love so well. It begins, of course, with the blonde. Attractive, early 30s, nice figure. The third from the end. The third slab from the end, that is, in the city morgue.
Well, there you are. Unidentified. picked up off Pier 23, foot of Greenwich Street, 3 p.m. yesterday. Mm-hmm. M.E. thinks she hit the water Tuesday night around 8 o'clock.
Okay, Lieutenant. Suicide?
What else?
I'm asking.
If we decide different, we'll let you know.
Hey, what's the matter? Wife overcook your eggs?
Just forget the circulation buildup, that's all. I don't want to read any headlines about the police being baffled in the death of a mystery beauty. It's a suicide. Dame got to moping and jumped in the bay.
Yes, sir.
We've had 12 just like her so far this year, and par for the course is 20. So we'll have 8 more between now and Christmas. No mystery threats now. Or dark foreigners or anonymous phone calls to your city desk.
Lieutenant Halloran, you have a nasty, suspicious mind.
Why shouldn't I? What's Walter Dunn's top staff man doing on a routine suicide like this one? Right after I spend all morning with a little finishing school job answering a million and one questions
hey,
about...
Hey, wait a minute. What finishing school job?
Tweed suit, horn-rimmed specs, hair in a bun. You know her, Joe. I thought she was your leg man.
I don't know her. And my leg man is me. What's her name?
You got me. Ask Walter. He sent her.
Okay. Oh, thanks, Halloran.
And write it on us, will you? Just this once.
Which was the first I'd ever heard of Julie Burgoyne Walter. How I wish it had been the last.
Her old man owned a hatful of downtown real estate. She had a half million in her own name, and she wanted to play a reporter like Marie Antoinette played shepherdess. Somebody gave her a job on the classified ad desk. Unquestionably the worst break of my career.
Mr. Cathcart, you must believe me. I'm sure I know all about that girl
Look,
anymore.
Look, sweetheart, why don't
now
you
hold
go...
Now, hold it, Joe. The kid has something. That blonde in the bay...
It's a suicide. Waller, I just talked to Lieutenant Halloran. He says on this one, we don't beat the drums.
He doesn't have to sell papers.
Did he tell you who she is?
They don't know.
That's just the point. I do.
Oh, you do?
Yes. Her name's Ellie McClure. She came in last week to place classified ads.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to sell some personal things, some jewelry and stuff. Well, she was acting so strangely, I couldn't help remembering her.
Despondent?
No. She was afraid.
Afraid of what?
I think she was afraid someone was going to kill her.
Hey, you better go back to your classified ad.
No, the kid's got something, Joe.
You see, I couldn't help saying what a shame it was to sell personal things like an engagement ring and the bracelet and the locket and so on. But she said it didn't matter anymore. She said if she got money out of them to pay the rent for 2 more weeks, that would be enough. Because in 2 weeks, she'd be either rich or dead.
Huh. Well... What do you make of it?
She was playing the horses, maybe. Went broke. How would I know?
I think you'd better find out. What's her address, Julie?
Foxwell Apartments on Bush Street.
Well?
Well, what?
You got your lead.
Yeah. There's one way of looking at it.
Shut up and go. If it blows, I'll buy you a drink.
Well, hey, what about me? It's my story, isn't
you
it?
You follow him around and you might learn something. Beat it, both of you. City desk done. Larry, for Pete's sake, get the lid out.
I could have put up an argument, Walter, but you were wearing your try-and-stop-me look, so I took corner rims by the elbow and steered her downstairs into a cab.
Foxwell Apartments, driver, 1280 Bush Street.
Hey, how'd you know the address? Mr. Cathcart, how'd you know?
I looked it up.
Oh. Well, say, I hope you don't mind that I'm...
I do.
But just think, Mr. Cathcart, maybe it'll be big. My first story. Maybe it's a scoop.
Scoop, Olga. Just like the movies.
Well, it might be.
First off, little one, who told you it was your story?
Well, isn't it? I got the lead.
It's a long mile from there to a byline.
Yes, I suppose it is.
Look, let's understand a couple of things, shall we?
Yeah.
If you've got newspaper ink in your veins instead of blood, fine. If you were born in the theater lobby between acts of the front page, congratulations. But I'm for real, honey. I've been making a living at this for some time now, and I know a dud when I see one. And more important, I've got to get along with the police department, and when they say lay off, I lay off.
So you want me to lay off, too?
I want you to go back to your classified ad desk or whatever you were playing at when you dreamed this up.
I didn't dream it up. That girl was murdered, and I'll prove it to you.
Okay. It's your ball, honey.
Miss McClure's apartment's down to the end of the hall. Sorry to make you walk, but the elevator's busticated today.
Oh, well, we don't mind, Mrs. Mrs.
Huh? Oh, it's Donovan.
Donovan.
Phew. Don't think you'll find her home. Can't tell you much about her. Only been with me a couple of weeks. Oh. Here we are now. Hoo-hoo! Miss McClure!
Mrs. Donovan.
Huh?
We knew we couldn't find her home.
Well, great night. Why'd you make me pump up them stairs then?
Well, you see...
Hey, Mrs. Donovan, when did you last see Miss McClure?
Well, let me see now. How does Tuesday night sound?
Exactly right.
Exactly right for what?
Never mind. Where'd you see her Tuesday night?
Come down to my rooms around 5, I think it was. Wanted to borrow my iron to press her dress.
Uh-huh.
Well, then she was going out somewhere.
Well, she said so. Happy as a lark she was. Big evening.
Happy? You see, now, does that sound like
a
girl...
Yeah. Go ahead, Mrs. Donovan. Who'd she go out with?
How should I know? Some old flame, she said.
An old flame?
What's this all about? Is something wrong?
Well, it depends on your viewpoint, Mrs. Donovan. It's this way.
Julie, look, let's keep a level head, shall we? Mrs. Donovan, you're sure that's the last time you saw Tuesday around 5?
Well, I heard her after that in her apartment.
All right. When?
Oh, around midnight, I guess. I heard her moving around in there, and I thought I'd get my iron back. So I knocked, but she didn't answer.
Moving around? You mean she was opening drawers and things, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mrs. Donovan, did you think it was strange when she didn't answer?
In this apartment, you knock once and go about your business.
Well, it's too bad you weren't more curious, Mrs. Donovan. It wasn't Ellie McClure in her apartment. It was the old flame, the man who killed her.
Killed?
Julie, shut up.
What do you mean? She was killed.
Where's the key? I want to look in this apartment.
Oh, Halloran would love that.
Well, aren't we?
Without a warrant? No.
Miss McClure's dead, you say?
Yeah, she's dead. Here, Mrs. Donovan, it's $20. Keep this under your wig, understand? Let's go, Julie.
But I still think we ought to at least look in the apartment. After
dead.
After all, we might find something
Miss McClure. I didn't know she was dead.
I don't know. Maybe the kid did have something, Walter. We had 2.5 hours until the paper went to bed, so we stopped off at the top of the mark for a strategy session over a couple of scotch and sodas by one of the windows. Night had settled over the city. Market Street was a neon stripe now from Twin Peaks to the Embarcadero, and the bridge lights stretched from there across the bay like a string of yellow beads, enough to make most girls sentimental, but not Julie.
It was murder, Joe.
Maybe.
Positively. I think I can put it together now.
Uh-huh. How does it go?
Blackmail.
Mm. It's always been good. Who and to whom?
Ellie and the old flame from Kansas City.
Kansas City? Why pick on
they
a town like that?
They found a store label in one of her shoes.
Huh.
She knew him in Kansas City. They were mixed up in something crooked, maybe. Anyhow, she had something on him. Something big.
Yeah. Then what?
Well, so... She found him out here, maybe living under another name. And she needed money, badly. She decided to blackmail him. That's what she meant when she told me she'd either be rich or dead.
So she made a date with him, pressed up the party dress.
And he killed her. Then he went back and searched the apartment for anything that might connect the two of them. That's what Mrs. Donovan heard. How's that sound?
Pretty tired. They do it every month in the Black Mask magazine.
Oh, Joe, you're a cynic. He's somewhere down there right now. In that maze of buildings with murder on his conscience. Wondering what's going to happen next. Waiting for the axe to fall.
She was wrong, Walter. He was closer than that. His drink was sitting next to hers. And he was holding her hand. Wondering when her 16-cylinder intuition would come up with a clincher. The clincher that Joe Cathcart, Pulitzer Prize winner with a rich wife in Hillsborough and a garage full of Cadillacs. Joe Cathcart put that dowdy blonde in her place on the third slab from the end in the city morgue.
Yeah, Walter.
I was the old flame.
We will continue with Act 2 of Hollywood Star Playhouse in just a moment.
Though there are more graduate nurses in service than ever before, constantly increasing needs for nursing personnel, including the growing requirements of the armed forces, have created a demand for still more. The opportunity for a professional education and the chance of working with leaders in their community and serving humanity awaits thousands of alert girls who choose nursing as their career. If you are a young lady seeking a future with meaning, go to your nearest hospital for information about the career of a graduate nurse.
Now, Act Two of An Obit for Joe, starring Mr. Barry Sullivan.
Yes, Joe, it was murder. And he's down there somewhere, waiting for the axe to fall. Joe, what's the matter?
Nothing. How about another drink?
I beg your pardon, sir.
What is it, waiter?
There's a gentleman who would like to talk to you, sir.
Gentleman? Where?
Other side of the bar.
Oh, yes, I see him. I'll be right back, Julie. Bring the lady another drink, will you?
Yes, sir.
Is this a coincidence?
Nope. Drink?
Thanks, no.
I saw you and the dame go into the apartment.
Sticking around pretty close, Bert.
Well, in my business, it pays. You find things out that way.
So what?
So I better set you straight on what your $5,000 bought you.
Why don't you get up on a stump?
Oh, don't get nervous. There's no one around. Yet. That money got you dead blonde. Didn't buy you a newspaper school.
You think I'm crazy?
Well, I didn't. Till I saw you at the apartment.
It's the kid over there. She jumped in with both feet.
Well, pull her out. By the neck, if you have to. How much does the landlady know?
She heard you around midnight.
Me?
Yeah. Snooping around, opening drawers.
Well, she's lying. I never went back.
You know what?
I didn't have to. Ellie had a purse with her, a big purse. There were letters, you know, a couple of snapshots. Marriage license. So if you think you can hang this on me and stay clean yourself, think again.
That works both ways, you know.
Oh, I'm happy with my $5,000. I won't shake you down. But get this. Nothing in the papers, understand? If this ever hits page one, my little brown bundle gets dumped in the lap of the DA.
If it ever gets going, it'll take more than me to stop it.
Well, you better try, Joe. You better try. So long, Joe.
I watched him walk out like he owned me, which he did. Turn and give me a wink as he stepped into the elevator. I beat my head there for a minute trying to figure out the next move, but there just wasn't any. Man, it was a waste of effort anyway because Julie made the next move. When I got back to the table, she was gone.
Joe, where is she?
Julie?
Who else?
Well, don't jump down my throat. I thought she was with you.
I asked you a question, Walter. Where is she?
Out burning up the street somewhere. Hey, the kid's great, Joe. She called me about the landlady.
She's crazy.
Who, the landlady?
Both of them. Did she mention the landlady was drunk?
Huh?
Sure. Her name's Donovan. I've seen her at night court a half a dozen times on drunken disorderly raps. She's one of those crazy characters who'll do anything to get her name in the paper.
You think she's lying?
I know she's lying. The minute she found out we were from the Times, she shot off like a phonograph. Invented that cock and bull story about Ellie McClure and the old flame and the iron and the dress. Waller, I'll make a bet with you. $50 says Ellie McClure isn't even dead.
What?
Look, you've only got the kid's word the blonde is the McClure dame. You want to go out on a limb, Waller? Smear it all over page one and have McClure turn up laughing?
Well, sit down. City desk done. Huh? Really? Good girl. Good girl. Phony, huh?
What is it? Well?
Joe, my boy, Julie's at Pier 23. She's got a witness. A guy who saw another guy pull up at the foot of the pier at 9 Tuesday night and dump something big in the water. Jimmy Randolph, his name was. A merchant seaman, and she had him staked out in a little bar on the Embarcadero. I found him leaning over a beer alone. You Jimmy Randolph?
That's right.
Joe Cathcart Times.
Oh, yeah, she said you'd be along.
Oh, she did? Where is she?
Said she had an errand uptown.
I guess
you want the dope on Tuesday night, huh?
Yeah, you told her you saw a guy pull up in a car.
Yeah, I had a couple of drinks at the bar here. Walked out about 9. Saw this car pull up across the way. Didn't pay much attention. Then a guy got out and opened one of the rear doors and hauled out something.
Couldn't make out what it was, could you?
Well, might have been a body.
It might have been a sack full of rubbish, too, mightn't it?
Well, I don't know.
Say, Jimmy. Jimmy, you're a seafaring man, aren't you?
Maybe. President Monroe.
Doesn't pay too well, does it?
What's on your mind, pal?
Well, it just happened to hit me, Jimmy. If you were to suddenly decide it was a sack of rubbish instead of a body, you might find a stray $500 bill in your duffel bag tomorrow morning.
Are you kidding?
Okay. Let's make it 1,000. How's that?
Oh, holy criminy. What a chump I've been working my head off on a ship. All I gotta do is sit here and I got it made.
Hi, Cathcart.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant.
You must be in good form tonight.
Funny man.
Some people think so. Who are you?
Jimmy Randolph.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're the one who saw the body go into the bay, right?
Well, we were just talking about...
Shut up. You say you were in here for a couple of drinks Tuesday night and saw it happen on your way home. You're right, Randolph?
More or less.
Mostly less. Tuesday was election day. This joint was closed. How much did he pay you to say that?
Pay me? Him?
Yeah.
Look, Lieutenant,
anything
I haven't...
Anything for page one, huh,
Lieutenant,
Joe?
I tell you, I had nothing to do...
Don't
with...
hand me that. We got it all from the landlady at the Foxwell Apartments. Hornrim slipped her a C-note for the performance.
What?
When Mrs. Donovan found that it involved a dead girl, she got scared and called us.
Wait a second. Randolph. Randolph, did she...
Okay. It was 150. So what?
Why, that little...
You mean this wasn't your idea, Joe?
Randolph, where is she? Where did she go uptown?
I can help you there. We found her waving a handful of bills under the nose of the tenant next door to Ellie McClure. She's out in the car.
Hello, Joe.
All right. How much of it was true?
Well, she did come into the department and place the ad.
Yeah, what else?
That's all. Well, I had to take it from there, Joe. Too bad, isn't it? We would have had such a tremendous, big, wonderful scoop.
Scoop? Why, you knuckleheaded. Where's the phone? Oh.
City desk, Don.
Walter, this is Joe.
Well, I got news for you, baby. The kid came up with a play-by-play account of what happened when the guy called for Ellie. It seems the tenant next door heard them.
Kill it.
Kill it? Why?
It blew up like I said it would. They're bought and paid for, all of them. She did it with a little bankroll.
Huh? You mean Julie?
I mean Julie.
No, no. Say it ain't so, Joe.
She's sitting out in the squad car right now. If they feel like it, they can file bribery charges against us. So kill the whole thing, understand?
Joe, I can't.
You can't? Why not?
The paper went to bed an hour early. We're on the street.
His name was Bert, Walter. That's all I knew. I'd found him in a pool room in North Beach. It took me 10 minutes to get there. I shook up a wino sleeping in the doorway. Yeah, he knew Bert. Used to drive a taxi for the Green Cab Company. Oh, you did it up round, Waller. There was a newsboy on every corner along the way, screaming at the top of his lungs, "Mystery beauty keeps date with killer." 10 more minutes gone. The dispatcher at the Green Cab Company remembered Bert. Albert Bracamonte, his real name was. I found it in the phone book. A dingy walk-up on Fillmore Street. drab, dark stairway lit by a single naked bulb led from the street up to the second floor. It felt empty, like no one had lived there for a long time. The door was open. I went in. Stupid? Yeah, I guess so. But all I could think of was the brown bundle, wondering if he'd jumped the gun, hoping it wasn't stuck under the DA's door. There was a broken-down dresser in the corner, a nightstand, and a closet. If it was here, it'd be in one of the three. I started on the dresser.
You rat, you dirty, stinking rat.
Wait a minute, Bert. You got it wrong.
I got it right, Joe. I got it right.
Bert, no! Don't!
Oh! Give me that gun!
Wait, no, you don't. Yeah,
let go of my...
There.
Don't do it, Joe. Don't do it.
So that's it, Walter. Final thrilling chapter in the life of Joe Cathcart, boy reporter. Give my love to the boys, huh?
Joe, I don't know what to say.
Don't be too hard on Horn Rims. You know, looking back at it now that it doesn't matter one way or the other, the kid is great.
Joe, can I...
Straighten her out, Walter. Hold her down a little and you'll have a great reporter. She...
Joe! Joe!
Barry, after a finish like that, it's almost a surprise to have you here at the microphone again. But I'm glad you are, because it gives us a chance to thank you for a great performance.
The pleasure was all mine, Orville, even though I did have to die in the end. But don't forget these live characters around here. Mary Jane Croft, Will Wright, Ted Von Eltz, Jane Morgan, Frank Gustel, and Sheldon Leonard. Thanks, folks.
Thanks again, Barry. Tonight's play was written especially for Mr. Sullivan by Harold Swanton, with music by Basil Adlam. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. And now, here is the star of next week's thrilling story on Hollywood Star Playhouse, Miss Claire Trevor.
The stillness is deathly. Outside our windows, the sea heaves in thick, syrupy swells. A sea of vengeance. And racing towards us from below the dark horizon, the wave, waiting for us if we try to escape. And our only hope, the launch, is baited with exploding death.
Claire, you have us on the edge of our seats already, and we won't miss the wave next week. Thanks. On tonight's program, all characters and incidents were fictitious. Any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And now this is Orville Anderson saying good night for Hollywood Star Playhouse.
This is Barry Sullivan again, reminding you that our good friend Ted Mack is coming your way next on ABC with his original Amateur Hour. It's a grand show. I hope you'll all stay tuned.
Transcribed.
This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the American Broadcasting Company.